Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McInniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Caregiver's Toolbox. My name is Ryan. I'm here with Janet. Janet, what is going on?
Well, we're getting ready for summer, so that's nice.
Excellent.
It's time to get outside.
It's been pretty crazy here at the offices. We've been working on a lot of different cases, a lot of different things, but we got some time to sit down and do another podcast, so I thought that was good. We were able to carve out some time. It gets crazy over here, so, you know, there's only so many hours in the day to put all the puzzle pieces together. So
that's
sometimes
right.
The podcast suffers because of it, but such is life.
It's a good busy.
Yeah, it's a good busy. But today we are talking about urgent cares, and we are urgently updating you on urgent cares.
That's right.
To let you know the pros and cons of urgent care. So, Janet, I'll let you start it off.
Well, with the urgent care, I think it's people are starting to get more familiar with it.
Yep.
And they're not one company, there are a whole bunch of others, and some are tied to the pharmacy that they're attached to, others are not, and
or the hospital they're attached to. Excuse me,
yes.
I clear my throat.
And you know, so there's pros and cons to using them. So just kind of as a refresher, I know we've talked about them in the past. On the pros and cons, the pro side of taking an elderly person to an urgent care is the service is quicker. You don't spend 8-10 hours in the emergency room. One of the big advantages, there's fewer germs. You know, if you've got someone that's susceptible to pneumonia and it's flu season, the emergency room you don't want to have to go to if you can help it. Even going to the doctor's office, you find everybody's got masks on.
Yeah.
And just the flow of people is that much smaller at an urgent care, so you're coming in contact with fewer germs.
Yeah, and absolutely. And one of the things that I think people forget about the urgent care is that you can go to anyone. Like, now, granted, if you have a primary hospital and there's a your primary hospital is affiliated with an urgent care, like here you have Partners Healthcare Systems or Partners Healthcare Company, they started bringing out their own Partners Healthcare. Certainly, they're going to be able to talk, quote unquote, through the same system and be able to update your information so that the people that are at the urgent care, that's Partners, if you ever go to the hospital, that's still attached to your files. But you can always call up multiple ones and find out who's not busy at the moment and who can see you immediately. And a lot of them, you can go online and you can book an appointment if it's not urgent care, meaning that maybe you're sick, but, you know, what's the difference between 30 minutes and an hour? Like, you know, then all of a sudden you know that you can walk right in there, be seen relatively quickly, and go out there. I know that personally for me, my doctor is my primary to make sure that I go once a year, do a checkup, let them know about things. And if something's overtly concerning between the times that I normally see him, I'll go see him for that. But if I sprain my ankle or if I have an infection from a cut I got or whatever it might be, even if it was a broken finger, I'd go to urgent care. I wouldn't wait around at a hospital. I wouldn't wait around to see my primary. I'd go in to the first urgent care that sees me because, you know, these are things that any nurse or nurse practitioner or doctor should be able to handle on a day-to-day basis.
And if you compare it to the emergency room, you're not going to see your primary in the emergency room anyway.
No.
And, I mean, you also, to that point, is there's less stimulation, overstimulation going on in an urgent care.
Sure.
Which can be a real help if somebody has confusion or just high anxiety. You haven't got people sitting next to you with, you know, their hand wrapped in a bath towel or whatever else because they're more traumatic. So it's good that way too. And I, just as a little update to your point of whether they belong to a part of a hospital or not, we had a client that went to an urgent care and the urgent care was making it very clear that they were part of the pharmacy that they were attached to. Mm-hmm. And they asked them what pharmacy they used because they did need a medication. And they said, oh, but we can fill it for you here. So that was, they felt like they were kind of being taken advantage of. So you have to just, you know, keep in mind that you're the customer. And you can stick to your guns with what you need. And like you say, you can call to see who's available or go to the closest one. I think with older people, it usually comes down to their ability to move. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got someone that has trouble with a wheelchair, that could be more of a hassle getting them in the car and over there. And there are times that you should just be calling 911. But urgent cares are probably one of the best things to come along for minor things for the older population.
Absolutely. And also, you got to think about that. You know, in Massachusetts, I mean, this podcast, I imagine, I don't know where people listen to be honest with you, but we've gotten likes and comments on our Facebook page from all over the country. Not everybody's like 10 minutes away from Boston where there's a plethora of hospitals to choose from. I mean, if something if I broke my arm and it was non-lethal, I would have probably 15 different hospitals that I could drive to within 20 miles to get my arm fixed, right? But there are people out there that maybe their closest hospital is a long ways away. And so I always thought, like, if you have somebody with dementia, even if they're in Boston area, wouldn't it be easier just to drive 5 or 10 minutes, go to the urgent care, get what needs to be done? And I've gone to urgent care, I'm in and out of there in less than 30 minutes generally. And then you're home another 5 or 10 minutes. So you're talking an hour-long round trip rather than going to the hospital, which might be half an hour or an hour away, I don't know. And then sitting there, going through that waiting period, seeing a doctor, and then the reversal. I always just thought that urgent care was just so much more convenient. And it also, and I think the hospitals are happy with, for part of the reason for urgent care, because, you know, granted, hospitals, or maybe they're nonprofit or maybe they're for profit, whatever, they're all looking to make money because they need to fill the bank accounts to expand their business, whether they're a nonprofit. But my point being is, you know, there are some times where I'm sure hospitals are glad that, yeah, urgent care, just go, you stubbed your toe, you don't need to fill up our emergency room. Our emergencies are meant for just that, emergencies. And we've had a number of times where clients, for whatever reason, they opt to go to an emergency room and they sit there and they get no sleep at night because they've been up all night waiting for the emergency people to see them when, you know, car accidents happen, drunk driving occurs, you know,
exactly,
the inevitable bar fights or the inevitable drink alcohol related issues that come in where somebody gets hurt or injured or whatever on a Friday night and they're sitting there because, you know, somebody has a small cut and just needs to be seen or whatever it might be. Yeah. Now, granted, in the middle of the night you might be hosed, but I'm sure there are 24-hour urgent cares in certain areas where there's a need for 24-hour urgent cares, but a lot of them are open from early in the morning, 7 or 8 in the morning, to sometimes 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. So they're there for 16 hours out of the day.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and we're focusing on making it easier for assisting with older people, but I was talking with someone just last week, and it was family members of one of our clients, and they live in New York City. And you think, like in Boston, you know, you could go anywhere. And this client's family member, the wife had terrible stomach pains, and they went to an urgent care. Well, the urgent care diagnosed a serious condition and called the hospital, told them what was going on, and said that the person probably needed emergency surgery, and the surgeons were waiting for her when she got there.
Yeah.
And she had what, in all estimation, was a life-saving operation. So it's one of those things where, would that have been taken care of any faster in an emergency room? I don't think so. you know, just because of everything that has to go on. So I think that for people that think because it's a hospital, that's where I have to go, it's bigger, it's better. All of what goes on in an emergency room may not be what you need.
Exactly.
So that makes it easier. Another thing that I did learn, and I have to say I'm fortunate, I haven't needed an urgent care myself, but and again, through experience, we hear through caregivers, clients, and family, what do you bring when you go to an urgent care? And we always suggest that, especially if there's an older person, you should have a little go bag, envelope, whatever it is. Keep it in mom's purse or dad's wallet or whatever. Know what the medications are. Have your insurance cards. But what I didn't know was that at least this particular urgent care required a photo ID. And they were going in to see if there was pneumonia, and they didn't have a photo ID, so they all went back home. They got the photo IDs, and they came back. So there was that whole process. And there are a lot of people that don't have photo IDs. Either they don't drive anymore, or they never traveled and had a passport. And that's one of those things that never even occurred to me.
Yeah.
So if you have a loved one that doesn't have a photo ID, you might want to give that some thought, if just to have handy.
Absolutely. I mean, those are some of the things that you're going to come across, right? Because, you know, in urgent care, a lot of them now are private. Some of them, the ones around me are franchise. You have CareWell, and then you have AFC. And, you know, if you're a franchise, you're a for-profit company. And so my thinking, or my assumption, I guess, on that is, if you're a for-profit company, you need to make sure that you're not going to be stuck at the end of the week or the month or the quarter, you know, with non-receivables, meaning that you got some type of insurance has to be paying for the services that you've been giving out. So since they're a private company, it's not like an emergency room where they got to see you because you're there. They can turn you away and say, listen, you know, you have no means to pay for this care because we don't have a photo ID, and we don't have your insurance card, or we don't have information to bill you properly. We can't provide services. And then that's kind of one of the, maybe the cons of it, or something that people wouldn't think about. Like, this is a private business that's doing private care. They're not obligated to take anybody in there, unlike an emergency room is obligated to care for everyone that comes through there.
Right.
But you're not going to get the same speedy service as you do at some of the urgent cares that are around the area that are doing this for a profit. So it certainly will be an interesting dynamic, because as these get more and more popular, which I see them springing up everywhere, they're going to become more and more used, and it will be interesting to see how that changes with your primary doctor versus your hospital versus these urgent cares, because my guess is that, you know, people are going to go with that convenience, and they're going to look at it as a nurse is a nurse is a nurse, which isn't always true, but for a majority of items, you should be able to see any professional and be able to get the proper amount of care that's needed, you know, without having to go see the specialist or your guy or whoever it might be, you know?
Yeah, and when, I mean, I think one thing that's good is they are properly named. They're called urgent care. It's not something when you want to talk to a specialist about something. And it is for something that needs attention now.
Absolutely. And so that's one of the things that we've done is if it involves the head, generally we go right to the hospital, because, you know, the urgent cares don't have necessarily the equipment to handle things. But when you're dealing with a bad bruise, or you're dealing with a cut or an open wound, or you're dealing with some type of infection, rashes, things like that, we always suggest to families, you know, is it okay if we bring them to an urgent care? Mm-hmm. And then we list the reasons, and they go, that makes complete sense. Like, mom will be home within an hour or two rather than be home by the end of the night, you know, and it's going to be...
There isn't the wailing of whistle or sirens and the whole stress of being in a hospital
environment. The whole stress of it versus We can, you know, put a, if somebody gets a bad scrape or whatever, we can put a paper towel on it just to make sure that, you know, there's no blood dripping anywhere, and we can be at our urgent care in 5-10 minutes and have that thing, you know, sewn up, or we can have it, you know, whatever, a Band-Aid put on it, whatever it needs to be, and you know, it's given the attention in the person's home back doing their routine and recuperating that
right.
much faster.
And we're certainly not ever advocating that over a trip to the emergency. There are things for which you need 911.
Oh, absolutely.
And when in question, that's what you do. But like you say, for the cuts and the scrapes and the x-rays, for chest x-ray, for pneumonia, things like that, you don't have to go through the stress of an emergency
absolutely.
Room.
Absolutely. So, I mean, those are things where I would, you know, in my opinion, I would go online. I would find out which urgent cares are close to you. I'd mm-hmm. see what their services are. Give them a
it's
call.
It's mom or dad. Go visit
yeah,
sometime
go visit.
In your visit. See what
yeah.
it's like.
And see what's in there. And you're going to find that, like, every time I've been in urgent care, there's like two people in there. And I'm seen almost immediately. And I'm out of yep. there in 15 minutes. And it's like, oh, yes, you know, here you go. There's what you need. Da-da-da-da-da. Have a nice day. Thank you. And,
yep.
and it's a quick, just transactional, rather than, you know, setting up the appointment for a week later with your primary to do this. It's like, all right, let's just get this over with. Rip the Band-Aid off or put a new one on.
there
so,
you go.
So there you go. So I think it has its place. It doesn't mean that, you know, if you think somebody has a concussion or really bang their head, that you should just go to the urgent care. Because what's going to happen if you do that, they're just going to see you, and then they're going to bounce you right over to the hospital anyway.
Yep.
So they're going to say, you need to go to the hospital. We don't have the ability to do an MRI here, or we don't have the ability to do XYZ, whatever it is. So those they're going to let you know what their capabilities are when you go in there. But it can't hurt to go over there and just find out what it's good for and what it's not.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, Janet, thank you for bringing this up and giving us your insight. My name is Ryan, and this is Janet. We're with the Caregivers Toolbox, and thank you very much for listening, and you'll hear from us next week.